First Thessalonians chapter 5. Everybody got your Bibles? Because we're going to be using them today, okay? We are going to be looking at a few scriptures, but a couple weeks ago, we were looking in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, looking at the rapture. Look at there with me in verse 13 of chapter 4, and let's read this together. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Paul's talking about those that have passed on, who have died. I don't want you to be sorrowful for them or ignorant. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word harpazo. It means to be taken away, to be grabbed and plucked out even quickly. It's the word harpazo, where in the Latin it's translated raptus, where we get our word rapture. That's where the concept of the rapture comes from. It's not a made up thing. It comes from Scripture, where we'll be raptured, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's the same thing that Jesus talked about to his disciples when they were getting a little bit worried, thinking about him going away. He said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Isn't that good? Jesus saying that he is coming again to receive us to himself, that where he is, we may be also. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not everybody is going to face death. If they're alive when Jesus comes again at the rapture, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That means it's going to be quick. It's going to happen fast. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So the last trump, in the twinkling of an eye, it says that the trumpet will sound and the dead shall rise and we shall all be changed. The rapture. We have a great hope. Paul says at the end of this chapter 4 to comfort one another with these words. This is not something that the believer needs to be worried about, to be concerned about. And Paul is going to continue on to address this a little more here in chapter 5. Look at verse 1 with me. But, he says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Paul, though he was in Thessalonica, remember, he was only there for a short time. Possibly only 3 weeks. It could have been a little more. But he was not there a long time. But he took considerable time, I believe, to talk with these believers about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that we know that he comes as a thief in the night. You see, all through church history, there has been the expectation of an imminent return of Jesus Christ. And that is the belief that Jesus could come at any moment, at any time. There is nothing that needs to be fulfilled or nothing that needs to happen before the rapture of the Lord. We know through Revelation there is going to be things that will happen before he comes again, the second coming, when he comes. And that's the difference between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture is where he catches us up into the air to meet him. But the second coming is when he comes again physically to this world with us at his side. And that's going to happen at the end of the 7-year tribulation. But there's nothing that needs to take place scripturally, nothing that needs to be fulfilled before the rapture happens. And Paul believed and he taught that there was that imminent return of Jesus Christ, that he could come at any time. That's why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture view. That is one of the reasons why I believe. There's many scriptural evidences for it. But to believe in an imminent return, you have to believe that it's going to take place before the tribulation, before the Antichrist comes onto the scene, before the Antichrist comes in and desolates the temple that's going to be rebuilt during the tribulation. An imminent return of Jesus Christ. The early church believed that Jesus would show up at any minute. And they lived with that urgency. I mean, remember when Jesus, after he died and was resurrected, and he walked among the disciples, and they would be hanging out, and then Jesus would just suddenly show up. They'd be in a locked room, and all of a sudden Jesus would be there. Hey guys, how you doing? They'd all be like, stop scaring us like that. And when he was taken up, the angel said to him that as he has been taken from me, he's going to return again. And so they believed that any moment he's going to come again. I think they were very careful in everything that they were doing, everything that they were saying, because they're thinking, man, he's going to just show up again. I'm going to turn around. He's going to be standing there going, what are you doing? You know, they probably thought that he was going to show up at any moment. And so they lived with this urgency, with this expectancy. We remember that when Paul and his companions were there in Thessalonica, the Jews didn't like the message that was being preached. And they came against Paul. And they ended up going to Jason's house. Not this Jason over here, but the Jason that was hosting Paul and his companions. And they dragged him on. They said, you know, these are the ones, they said, that are turning the world upside down. That's what the apostles were doing. They were turning the world upside down. They were so on fire because they believed Jesus was coming at any moment. Could you imagine if we lived with that kind of expectancy and urgency? Jesus is coming at any moment. If you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, how many of us would say, I've got to make some phone calls. I've got to talk to some family members. I've got some friends I need to deal with. How many of you would be doing that? I think a lot of us would be. And I pray that we never lose that urgency, though it's been 2,000 years since the time of the apostles. I pray that we never lose that urgency. Let us understand and realize that Jesus is coming at any moment. And I want to be ready. I want to be busy carrying out the Lord's will. I want to be watching and waiting, but working and witnessing as well. And we know that he's going to come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's not going to be expected. You know, some of you have heard the story, but a couple weeks ago, our church trailer, I had it hooked onto my van. I thought, you know what? I'm going to just take it out of my driveway for a bit. I'm going to just park it at the ministry center. I didn't really feel super comfortable about it. I thought, I don't know if this is the best place to leave this trailer. But I thought, I'll keep it hooked onto my van. I even had a lock on it. Backed it right up against, you know, some stuff where nobody could tamper on the back. I thought, it's going to be fine, you know. So I did that on one night. Well, I got a call that morning at 5 in the morning. Hello, is this Brent Smith? This is the police, and we've tracked down a trailer that's registered to your name. It's over in Surrey somewhere. I'm like, what? I'm in a daze. I don't know what's going on, you know. And anyways, the trailer, they busted the whole piece where it's hooked on the trailer, and they moved it onto their vehicle, and they towed it away. Thief in the night. I wasn't expecting it. I thought it's going to be no problem, but they came at night. And what's, praise the Lord for this, because when I got the trailer, the whole back, the lock, was just totally busted apart. The piece that you lock together, busted apart. They just hammered this thing, and they couldn't get to the lock, so they just broke the whole mechanism to open the door. And nothing was taken out of the trailer, not one thing. I believe that the cops, they said that they were trying to track him down. I believe that the cops showed up just at the right time when they were ready to break through and get into the trailer. So the Lord's perfect timing on that. But anyways, thank the Lord for that. So everything was left in untouched, and we just had to make a few repairs on the trailer, and it's better than ever now. But came as a thief in the night. We never expected something like that to happen. If a thief said, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, put a note on your door saying I'm going to be back tonight, I got a few things that I want to pick up from your house there, it wouldn't be very smart. That guy would not make a very good living on thievery, and that'd be a good thing. But nobody announces when they're going to come when they are doing something like that. Jesus says that he's going to come as a thief in the night. He talks about that himself. Now, though we don't know when the Lord is coming specifically, we as believers can certainly have some understanding to the times that we live in. Paul says right in verse 1, but concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need that I should write to you. Not only were they needing to be too concerned about these future events that were taking place after the tribulation, but he says, you as believers are, as we're going to see, children of the light. And we can have an awareness and understanding of seasons and times. Jesus himself talked about seeing these events and being aware of what they meant. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, and we'll pick it up in verse 25. He says, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now this is Jesus talking about the second coming, but the signs that are associated with that. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. He says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know you yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, it's interesting. He says, when you see the fig tree, look at the fig tree, when they are already budding, when they begin to blossom and be fruitful. The fig tree is representative of the nation of Israel through Scripture. And many people see this as a picture of the nation of Israel in 1948 becoming a nation once again. They've begun to be fruitful. They've begun to blossom. The land is bearing fruit. And again, being abundant in the way it should. It was desolate and dry for hundreds of years. They become a nation again. It's begun to blossom. And look at all the trees, he says. And many of the nations who are beginning to become separated and become nations themselves. We're seeing different seasons and times in the world around us, pointing towards, I believe, the end times, that the kingdom is drawing near. Jesus says that assuredly in verse 32, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Many people understand this to mean that the generation that was alive when the nation of Israel became a nation again in 1948, that generation will by no means pass away. That it's going to happen during that generation, which could be 70, 80 years, we're not sure. Some people believe that it's speaking of just simply the people of Israel, that they won't cease to be a people again. Either way you look at it, I believe we see the seasons and the times around us, that the Lord is coming soon, that the kingdom of God is near. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, Jesus himself got after some who were testing him, because they were not seeing the times, the signs of the times. Matthew 16, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. So there is inevitably an understanding from the signs of the times. We know as we read through Scripture, as we move through Revelation, certain things that are going to be set up. And we see those things starting to get into position even right now. I believe the Lord is coming very soon. Jesus himself showed his apostles what would be the sign of his coming. And one more place to turn, Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all these, he says, are the beginning of sorrows. When we read these things, we see, man, those are happening increasingly more and more in this time that we live. I believe signs of the times. Signs of the times. So Paul says, concerning these things, you don't need to be worried about them, but we can be aware of them. And so Paul says that these believers knew that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Jesus himself taught that it would be so. In Matthew 24, you don't need to turn there, but if you are already there, Matthew 24, verse 42, it says there, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So we understand that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. And Jesus himself taught it would be so. He even alludes to it also in Revelation 3, verse 3. So we know that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. But the question is then, what is the day of the Lord? Now we're going to look at a few different things here this morning. Let me see if I can move that over. I don't know if I have the next slide on here or not. Oh, you know what? I lost it. Are you able to do it from there? I'm going to go to the next point here. And go to the next one here. The first point is the action. Okay? We're going to look at the action, the reaction, and the satisfaction in this portion we look at today. But first of all, the action. Let's look at the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord, first of all, is not a day. It's not one day in history. It is speaking of a period of time. The day of the Lord begins, I believe, with the rapture, and it moves through the seven-year tribulation all the way through the thousand-year reign of Christ, known as what? Anybody? Millennium. And it ends after the millennium. That is the day of the Lord. So we know it's going to take place over 1,007 years at least. Okay? So it's a period of time. We see basically through the word three periods. We see, first of all, the day of man. The day of man began in the Garden of Eden. The world was handed over to man to have dominion over. But because of sin, disobedience, and rebellion, man inherited more burden than blessing. So we're living in a time that can be known as the day of man. Okay? Secondly, we see the day of the Lord. Now, there's some scripture references that allude to the day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2 does. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. Those deal and talk about the day of the Lord. If you're taking notes, write those verses down and check up on them later on. But again, it encompasses a period of time. It's when the Lord is going to interrupt human history. And it's going to begin when he comes and he removes his church from this world. And then he begins to usher in the seven-year tribulation, which is a period where he is judging the world for sin and the rejection of Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's going to go through, as I said, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the millennium. And after the day of the Lord, after the millennium, we see what's known as the day of God. It's talked about in 2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to flip over there. Because after the millennium, what's going to happen is the dead are going to be resurrected. That means the unbelievers. They're going to be brought before the throne of God, the great white throne judgment, where they're going to be judged for their sin, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's going to happen after the millennium. And what's going to happen then is that God is going to wipe out this earth and the heavens, and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know if we have to get super caught up in and worried about preserving this planet, because God's just going to wipe it out one day by fire anyways. That's going to be the ultimate cleansing. But don't go and tell everybody that your pastor says not to recycle. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that, boy, that can become like religion to some people. Where did I say to go? 2 Peter 3, verse 11 to 12. It says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So that's the day of God. So we see the day of man, the day of the Lord, and the day of God. So we understand that the rapture will come as a thief in the night, but so too the day of the Lord will come upon the world, the unbelievers, as a thief. Because the world is going to be continuing on to live and think everything's great, everything's fine. Suddenly, the church is going to be gone, and they're going to be ushered into a period of judgment by God. Notice what it says here in verse 3. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So let's look at our next point here, the reaction. And we see the reaction by a couple groups of people, those that are children of darkness and those that are children of light. Notice here, Paul's going to bounce around between a couple different words. He's going to be bouncing between calling they and them, and then you.